the Friday wind down. Kick off your weekend the right way.
It's 12 minutes past 11. Welcome to the third and final hour of the Talking Point here on SFM. It's the Friday wind down time, and it's Kyle Shepherd that you are listening to. There's so many descriptions of him in the media: jazz maestro, film and theater composer, while he's also an internationally recognized musician for his distinctive style. One of his achievements, if you didn't know, is winning the Standard Bank Young Artist of the Year for Jazz in the year 2014. Kyle Shepherd is my guest in the studio. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you so much. Tell me about that song that I just played, Dream State.
Yeah, that was the title song of our album, or my album, that I recorded back in 2014. My gosh, it's 10 years ago. And that coincided and was supported by, of course, winning the Standard Bank Young Artist of the Year Award in 2014. And yeah, I have a lot of fond memories of that period, working with my trio, with Shane Cooper, who's also a former Standard Bank Young Artist Award winner, and also Jono Sweetman. So that was Dream State.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big accolade. You know, it may have been 10 years ago for you. And, you know, also, I think Shane Cooper won it. But the Standard Bank Young Artist of the Year Award is a big milestone for many South African jazz musicians. And when they pass through it, it almost inadvertently ends up redefining their careers. Did it for you?
Yes, definitely. You know, in South Africa, that particular award certainly holds and bears a certain weight in the industry. It's a wonderful barometer for determining sort of who are the new artists that are worth paying attention to. And I think the selection process and the judging process for involved in, you know, selecting the recipients of that award, and it's not only jazz. As you know, it's for art, theater making, dance and movement, and a few others. And I think it just holds a wonderful weight in the South African creative scene, you know, as a putting a flag down in the ground as to who are the young artists to pay attention to. And I think that's what it did for me. I had been making a lot of music before that point, and up to that point, and in a sense, preparing myself and preparing the music and my band for a big moment, like winning an award like that. And so I was very happy that when it did come, I felt very honored. And at the same time, I also felt ready for it. And many wonderful things have happened since back then in 2014.
Yeah, and one of those this year is you've been announced as the 2024 Artistic Director for the Journey to Jazz. Tell me what that means for you and what that entails, being the Artistic Director for the Journey to Jazz.
So Journey to Jazz is a jazz festival, a new, fairly new jazz festival. It's the second edition this year. And it's in a town called Prince Albert, which is about 3.5 hours drive outside of Cape Town. It's a beautiful, beautiful little town, very charming. One of those towns with one main street and two adjacent streets on either side, parallel to the main street. And it's about 2 kilometers long, that street, and that's it, you know. And so it has a wonderful charm, this festival. It reminds me so much of these. I played on many little festivals in Europe, in small towns, you know, in France, Germany, Switzerland. Often it's like 80 people capacity in a certain venue, or you play in a church where it's 300 seats, but nothing really, no big stages, no big outdoor stages. So very charming. Every stage is about 2 minutes walk from one another. So this is what we've got in Prince Albert at the Journey to Jazz Festival. And they asked me to come on board as artistic director, you know, to share my insights into the musicians and the music that I like, people I would like to bring to the festival. And so it was very much a job of curating a lineup that I thought was, one, firstly, what was important for me is that it's a lineup that's world class. And I think we've achieved that. We've got musicians coming from the USA, musicians coming from Italy, from Switzerland, wonderful musicians from Johannesburg, and then, of course, many, many of the great Cape Townian musicians. And also our focus was on a younger generation of South African musicians, particularly. I call them the sort of pre-legend status age group. And you know, the best of what we had available to us, and I think we've achieved that. And so it's been a nice journey to be a curator of a lineup that, firstly, I would personally like to listen to and see in concert, and I think we've achieved that. The festival, in fact, kicks off next week Wednesday on the 1st of May and runs until the 5th of May. So we're almost there. It's been 8 months of work.
Yeah, it's 5 days is a lot. It's a lot of music to curate. But I think part of the difficulty of curating is also making sure that you don't gatekeep only based on your personal interests and choices alone. You also reflect, I suppose, a people, a time, an era. How are you reflecting? Particularly South Africa, you talk of pre-legend status. What qualifies people to, be reaching that pre-legend status as far as you're concerned?
Well, I said pre-legend status a little bit tongue-in-cheek as a for a laugh, because my view on the word in South Africa, I find it to be very loosely thrown around, this legendary thing we have. I think some young musicians between the ages of 20 to 40 to 50, even in South Africa, are making fantastic music that would rival any of the elder musicians. But we do have a system of respect and hierarchy in jazz music in South Africa, so we give respect where it's due. So when I said pre-legend, it was a little bit tongue-in-cheek. So please take it in that light. Mm. To go back to your question, yeah, to come on as a curator, one thing of curating an art exhibition or a collection of artwork or so, and it starts, of course, as the impetus and the nucleus of it is, works that you as a curator would want to show or to have listened to. But then, of course, as you said, a festival is nothing without the audience.
Yes.
It's nothing without the buy-in of the community. It's nothing without a strong effort towards transformation, and that be gender transformation, race transformation, cultural transformation, giving people the big stage, the professional stage that are sometimes sadly overlooked, and that we looked at, that was part of the mandate. So it's a multifaceted mandate when taking on the role of a curator of a festival, where in fact we have thousands of people coming into Prince Albert. And I considered all of that. I like to think things through from a number of perspectives in my music making, firstly. How I present things to the audience. And so a curatorial position like this with a festival, I took the same approach.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go to break and then we'll continue our conversation in a short while. But I'm going to play the song Wasalu when we come back from break. We're in conversation with Kyle Shepherd on The Wind Down here on The Talking Point on SAFM.
Celebrating our music heritage right here on the Friday Wind Down. We'll be right back.
It's 11:29. That's Kyle Shepherd is one of South Africa's leading jazz, film and theatre music composers. He plays the piano. Jeff is asking in Fantastop, what instrument you play, Kyle. He plays the piano. In fact, he's very internationally recognised for his very distinctive compositional style and performance. You performed at the very festival that curated you last year. Kyle, how was it when you were a performer?
Celebrating our music heritage right here on the Friday Wind Down.
Good morning, KG, as well as our guest, Kyle. KG, I can tell by the line of questioning that you are swimming in your favorite pond, because that's the kind of music that you like and enjoy. And it's also the music that I like and enjoy. And I'll be honest with you, KG, it's the first time I hear about the brother. And so far, so good. I'm quite impressed with his sound. And, you know, it's there's that thing that, you know, that takes me back to Moses Taiwo Mlelekwa, the way he arranged his sounds, how deep it is and how sophisticated it is. So I'm quite impressed, KG. Kyle, you have a fan today, and I promise you I'm going to download some of your songs. You know what? I'm going to study you even further. I think you are a very, very interesting and gifted artist. Thank you, KG, for bringing him to the studio.
Those are your people, Kyle. Let's talk about the influence of that song, because for me, the magic is always infusing a little bit of who we are in the music, so that when you travel around the world, there is something that distinguishes you from your peers. Tell me about Family Love and tell me what you infuse, because I hear almost in that saxophone in the song that I just played, Family Love, almost the saxophone sounds like it's got elements of marabi in it.
Yeah, of course. Firstly, thank you to that nice message from your one of your listeners. I really do appreciate that. And then going to the song Family Love, in that particular song, you know, there's quite a few elements, and myself as a South African pianist and composer, I've always felt passionate about writing music or having an element in my career and musical output that is deeply rooted in South African music. And of course, marabi is a huge element in our musical fabric in South Africa. Even in Cape Town, if one thinks of the music of in the Pentecostal churches in certain Cape Townian townships like Nova Park, Manenberg, etc., it's got this we call it the chord 1, chord 4, and chord 5 thing that you hear in marabi music, and that's throughout South Africa. So I've always been passionate about that, and in fact I. Some people may or may not know, I've played with people like Zimhawana, McCoy Marabata, and quite a few others where we explored this type of music. Of course, trying to take it a step further in the case of Zim, combining marabi elements with elements of Western American jazz, and of course, in the case of Zim, other sort of cosmic sounds and improvisations. And that was a wonderful time playing with Zim. And, you know, I always had adopted the attitude of I'm a South African pianist, and so therefore my music should be grounded in South African music, and then from there as a foundation to go forward. And this has helped getting my music, getting interest in my music in what is now, I've gone around the world to 33 countries. Around the globe and played in some of the most prestigious venues, playing the sound that is South African, and then of course just, you know, taking steps into different musical areas. But the foundation of it is that you know, there's South Africa is such a rich musical heritage from Cape Town in the west right through and every other corner of the country.
And the richness of South Africa, you know, especially as we speak on the eve of 30 years of democracy, lies also in the diversity of cultures. And the diversity of cultures means that each culture has unique elements in their music. I had a long chat once with Silalo Solota, who explained to me about the sounds of the Bapedi people and how it influences his guitar style. stylings. Tell me where you take your primary influences as a pianist from. You spoke of the Pentecostal churches in the Cape Town area, and how that helps to almost move South African music forward. Because as much as people will always go to the musicians of the past, there will come a time when musicians of the future reflect on this time now, this time that your Kyle Shepherds and them are making music. So as you make music now in 2024 as a pianist, a South African pianist, what of yourselves do you want to imprint to make sure that you leave your South Africanness, yes, but also you keep innovation alive enough for the music to be alive in the future?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And it starts with a foundation being laid in the sound. I always think of a place like Cuba, for example, to be a great example of exactly what I mean. Because when you hear Cuban musicians, whether they're playing jazz or classical music or pop music, there's something in their sound that you can immediately identify. Same with the Brazilians. Absolutely. Yes. That would have been my next point. So I think that already gives you an idea of what I mean. And it's not a nationalistic thing. It's not political in any way, but it's nice to me to hear somebody's something that's unique in certain players from around the world. And I my musical upbringing from the age of five, I actually took lessons and studied classical music on the violin, because my mother's a violinist, and then in my middle teen years, about 15, I started hearing jazz. And the jazz piano really, really drew me in, and I really dedicated everything I had to playing the instrument. And I was lucky enough, also through my mother, to be around somebody like Abdullah Ibrahim and at his music school. And one of the key things I heard him or overheard him say to somebody or whatever was that, he didn't quite leave his heart in San Francisco, referring to the song. He focused on music from what he knows, which was growing up in the clubs, in the church, the AME church, because his grandmother was heavily involved with the AME church in Cape Town. The minstrel choirs, the Malay choirs, your Marabi. You know what I'm saying, and your Maskandi and your music from around the country, and then you combine it with your Thelonious Monk and your Bud Powells and your Charlie Parker, and that's how he crafted his sound.
Yes.
And he internationalized that sound, and he's now known for that sound, and he'll forever be in the wider canon of jazz music for the rest of the music's history. So that kind of thinking struck me at a very, very early age when I was a teenager. And I always, which is why I didn't quite survive at university studying Western jazz, because I had this other idea about what the music I wanted to make is going to sound like. In my early 30s, I went on to do a master's degree and achieved a master's degree on scholarship from the University of York, but that was more based around my own ideas. But undergrad studies in jazz, I didn't quite survive because I had this views coming from, as I said, people like Abdullah, people like Zim Lawana, people like Louis Moholo, people like Robbie Jansen, Errol Dyers, and these are all elders and legendary musicians that took me into their bands, for a couple of years. And that's, jazz, the transmission of information in jazz is not one that's learned from a book. It's one that's learned on the bandstand, on the road, on tour. The amount of things I learned from somebody like Brazim Mawana on the road, or on an airplane, on a train in France, it's just kind of invaluable, not everybody gets that chance. So that's sort of been my upbringing in jazz. And I've been, very, very lucky and blessed in that sense.
Yeah, it rings true to the adage that jazz is a feeling, beyond all things. Ultimately, it's a feeling. There's a caller, Peter in Pretoria. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Kyle.
Hello.
Hi, Kyle. How are you?
Yes, I'm good, and you?
You won't remember me. Met years ago in shop in Loop Street, African Music. You were listening to Makaya and Choko and the Saucy City, and I came up to you and I said, "No, I don't think this is for you," because I was not a young colored guy would even know about Makaya and Choko's music. And you were so humble. KG, you have a man who really understands where he's going in life. And I just wanted to commend Kai for keeping high of this wonderful music, who always remembers music is the force of the universe. And that is what's spreading in. I just wanted to say, Kyle, I enjoy that music, and above all, after that, in fact, I picked up two of your CDs, and my best composition from you is still the Bobiano Vibato class.
Yeah, Peter, we had I heard bits of what you said, but thank you so much for your call. I hope that Kyle heard. I'm going to go to break and then we come back with more Kyle Shepherd.
Celebrating our music heritage right here on the Friday Wind Down.
So, 7 albums in total. We're in conversation, by the way, with Kyle Shepherd, who is also been announced as the artistic director for the Journey to Jazz Festival, which starts next week on the 1st of May to the 5th of May. Kyle, 7 albums to date. Am I correct?
Yes, that's correct.
7 albums to date, and you talk of, this incredible knowledge that you got in your journeys with Makhoi Mkhubata and particularly Zim Ngawana. And, you equally have to pass the knowledge, I assume, with the people you put in your own individual bands. When you share knowledge with young upcoming jazz musicians in South Africa today, what do you share? What stands out for you that you share as knowledge to them?
Yeah, well, I believe that the music we put out there in my performances and albums and other interactions online is really the example of what I'd like to, if there are any young musicians who want to take something from my career, then hopefully it's they take it from what's heard in the music and to analyze the music, what like you asked me about family love, what are the elements, the cultural music elements, the ethnomusical elements, are there any sort of political feelings in the music? And then one takes the technicalities of the music, the theory, the actual piano playing, the saxophone playing, etc. So there's a lot to consider when you listen to a piece of music, particularly South African music, because it's so heavily charged with the social situations that we live in. All of our music is almost more than music in a sense. There's a lot to analyze. There's a lot of discussion points, which is all very, very, very interesting. And just from another point in your question, the musicians I play with in my band, I make a point to play with musicians that are better than I am. So that I can learn from them, and that I've been lucky with my trio, with Shane Cooper on double bass and Jono Sweetman on drums, because there's a heck of a lot of learning I do from the two of them, and we've been together playing together now since 2008,
Wow.
So that's quite a long-standing group, particularly in jazz. Usually groups don't stay together that long.
Yeah.
And in fact, at the end of May, from the 26th, we go into studio to record a new album. I've just written all the music for the new album.
Wow.
And I'm interested to see and hear where, a journey of 16 years, what type of how the music will be played and interpreted in the studio. So
Yeah.
we will release it later this year in both Cape Town, in at launch concert in Cape Town and Johannesburg, and more information will come out later this year.
I want your reflections on 30 years of democracy, because we can never not reflect on the fact that, the musicians on whose shoulders you stand, your Masikelas, your Makebas, etc., could not even for the longest amount of time perform in their own country because, of the political situation of the time. The evolution of 30 years of democracy has meant, new spaces for expression for new musicians in South Africa. What does, democracy mean to you as an artist in South Africa today?
Yeah, so well, firstly, I would firstly say that, having traveled around the world as I have, South Africa really is a miracle in a sense. 30 years in, South Africa is a miracle because we look at the news around the world as we speak, and one can see what happens when groups of people from various religions, cultures, creeds, and so on, where they clash ideologically. And how far that can go. And so the fact that we are standing here as we are, as South Africans, it's actually a miracle. And that's, of course, down to our key figures in our political history. And of course, we're all thankful of that. Not without many, many faults, of course. But I always look back and I think, wow, it's actually quite amazing in our communities. If I think of Cape Town on the Cape Flats or wherever else in Cape Town, I mean, you have people of various religions, various beliefs, all living together. I mean, it's quite a miracle, in fact. And what it's done is it's given us that freedom to now be artists, to take our music and our theater and our dance around the world, to be appreciated all around the world, sometimes more appreciated in Europe or the States or in the East than we are at home in some cases, not all cases. Sometimes South African audience, it's a little bit like the saying, taking coal to Newcastle. Sometimes they sleep on a lot of great artists until you make it in Europe or the States, or we've seen that movie so many times. But we still have freedom and the platforms to play our music, express ourselves. Now, access to the rest of the world is only a 10 to 14 hour flight away from our main cities, and we can get around and we can tour. And I think that's just, I mean,
Fantastic.
what a great time to be an artist at the moment from South Africa.
Kyle, your music is available on all the streaming services, I'm going to assume.
Yes, it is.
And you, who are you on the socials?
I am not on.